Have you heard of the acronym DARVO? It's a particularly nasty type of gaslighting that flips the script and attacks a person for bringing up an issue. Thank you so much for joining me today on Breaking Free from Narcissistic Abuse. I'm your host, Dr. Carrie Kerr McAvoy, a mental health specialist with over 20 years of counseling experience and a narcissistic abuse survivor. In this episode, we're going to address the underlying dynamics of this abusive practice, along with three steps to combating it effectively. I'm thrilled that you're joining me here today. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes and leave a review so I know what you think of the show. And thank you for your donations to this listener-supported podcast because together, we're shedding light on all things related to abuse. Let's listen in to a replay of this TikTok Live. It is extremely hard to deal with people who are toxic. They have an uncanny ability for getting under our skin in a way that just for most of us successfully undoes us and undoes our best strategies. We think we go into any given discussion or conflict or any topic ready to handle what we're going to be facing, and they somehow magically are able to flip it around and completely discombobulate us, throw us off our game, and make us feel like we're idiots. How are they able to do this so sophisticatedly? What can we do as a reasonable strategy to be able to come back? How do we protect ourselves better? Let's break down what happens in a lot of conflictual relationships or conflictual moments with narcissistic, psychopathic, and other toxic, like cluster B personality disorders. If you've watched my channel, you probably have seen the video on DARVO, which stands for, it's actually a form of gaslighting. DARVO stands for deny or deflect, attack, and reverse the role. Instead of becoming the offender, the one who's doing the attack, you take on the role as the victim. And it's interesting when this happens because it happens around any topic. You might be simply bringing up coordinating carpooling or what we're going to have for dinner tonight. And next thing you know, it's become a heated topic with a winner and a loser, and you're the loser. In fact, you're the loser for bringing the topic up. And it essentially shuts us down, making most conversations or most tricky situations or topics off limits. We start to avoid things we think are going to be conflictual. But what's awful about this is that it doesn't work because you don't know what's going to be conflictual. Maybe today it's carpooling and tomorrow it might be dinner, and maybe the week later it might be going out with friends. Who knows? So you can't ever successfully talk about or successfully bring these topics up because the issue keeps changing, which then throws us off guard and makes us even more shut down and even more careful, and we're walking on eggshells, and you know how all that goes. If you've been in a relationship like this, you know how you feel. You just start to want to like avoid this person. So what's going on and how can we work our way out of it? Because that's the tricky part, is getting your way out of it is super hard. They basically have set a trap. So let's talk about it. This is a form of gaslighting. I don't know if you've realized it or not. It essentially is replacing whatever the topic is, your reality, your issue. They're replacing your issue with theirs. And they're also throwing you off. They're making the topic no longer the topic. They're making you the topic. That's what really discombobulates us, because we're there with an agenda and we want resolution. And instead, what happens is that we become the agenda and we start to defend ourselves. Most of the time, we assume that the point of any topic resolution, any conflict resolution, is to solve the problem. We want to have an outcome. If you bring up carpooling, you hope at the end of the discussion you have a plan about who's taking the kids when this week and who's picking them up and what's your schedule. You think there's going to be this resolution. But when it's with a toxic person, a person, I use that term because it's just hard to say all the terminologies, when narcissistic, psychopathic, sociopathic, anybody who's kind of emotionally immature, when you are dealing with someone who's emotionally immature, they aren't about finding a resolution. They actually have an alternative agenda. And the alternative agenda is to offload their upsetness, the issues they may be feeling that morning. And who knows, it could be completely unrelated to you. It could be they just woke up in a bad space. It could be they looked at you and you look like you're about to have a good day and they got jealous of that and they wanted to bring you down because you look too good, you look too happy. It could be they're feeling upset about another issue with somebody else and they just decided they want to pass on the love and share the pain with you. They're now bringing it into this relationship in order to affect you and hurt you. There's lots of reasons why people do. It could be just they're mean and they like to be mean and they just want to like attack you because they like to hurt other people and they like to hurt you. Why they do this is for a lot of reasons and often it's not even related to us. And there's our first downfall is when it starts to happen, we think it's an issue between us and them. And we begin to try to work on it so that things get better. We try to figure out what's wrong and make it right so that we feel like we're on better footing with them. The first thing to remember is when this happens to you, it's happening because of the individual who's doing it and their agenda and their problems and their worldview. It really has nothing to do with you. And the second thing is we end up assuming that most of us approach things logically. That you have an issue and then there's an outcome. And we're working to get from issue to outcome. But we fail to understand that for some people, it's the issue isn't the issue and the outcome is to make you miserable. When we start to see this happening, we need to recognize that they're having a different agenda than ours and they're not intending to have any resolution with you. So we need to let go of our need to have resolution, let go of our drive, our goal, and realize that this is not a good time to have this discussion. Maybe we can't even have this discussion at all with this person. But for us to continue to pursue this like there's some logical end, there isn't any logical end. What are you supposed to do when this happens? And this is the hardest part of all, because most of us go into relationships. I don't know if you're aware of Julie and John Gottman's work, the Gottman Institute. They are amazing. If you guys are not familiar with them, I highly recommend that you check them out. They have like 30 plus years of research looking at couples, conflict, and successful marriages versus unsuccessful marriage. I know I've talked about them before. And they have looked at what makes a marriage last, what makes a relationship last. And they've been able to predict it with over 90% reliability. And they've identified that there are four characteristics that show up that show kind of predict the doom of your relationship, or at least that's going to be really, really tough. Well, one of the things that they've found is that we turn to each other for support. They call it emotional bids. And emotional bids come in a lot of different forms. It could be, I want you to pay attention when I'm talking about what happened to my day today. It could be that I'm really emotionally feeling bad and I wish you'd comfort me. It might be that I've been missing you and I'm kind of sexually interested in you and I hope that you are in me too. It simply could be as small as laughing at my joke or listening to something that I'm reading online and listening to that and having an investment. John gives a story about his wife, Julie. He noticed her combing her hair at a mirror and she had a sad expression on his face and he had a long day and he was walking past her the bathroom and saw her combing her hair and he could tell she'd had something was wrong. And he had a moment where he realized he calls them sliding door moments. He realized that he could go into the bathroom and see what's up with her, even though she hadn't made a bid for him to please help. Or he could pass it on by and go to his room and then, you know, retire for the evening, get ready for bed. He realized that in that moment that he might miss something critical. So he goes in and he takes the comb from her hand and begins to comb her hair and say, "What's up, babe? What's going on?" So those are the kinds of things that we look for each other. We look to be seen and to be valued, to feel worthy. We get our sense of self from each other. You know, when my partner looks at me lovingly, I feel special. I feel beautiful and loved. And we have this kind of reciprocal relationship. So that's what makes these moments, these conflictual moments with difficult people so undermining. It's not just that we can't solve the conflict, but that we're coming under attack. Our personhood is coming under attack and we feel not seen and we feel slighted and bad. We feel ashamed. They're shaming us. Here's why it's so hard is that we have to emotionally divorce ourselves from being invested in their opinion. Are you stuck in a toxic relationship, feeling confused and unsure what's real? What you're experiencing is called cognitive dissonance. It's when two conflicting realities coexist in your mind, and it traps you in confusion because you're unable to determine what is real. There's help for this. First Steps to Leaving a Narcissist is an online course and a workbook that systematically tears apart your illogical experiences, leaving you with the truth. If you're struggling with cognitive dissonance, then this course is for you. It's time to reclaim your mental clarity and peace and take back control of your life with First Steps to Leaving a Narcissist. Would you like to learn more? See the link in the show notes. Yeah, I'm going to say that again because it's super, super hard and most of us struggle with this. If you want to successfully deal with a Darvo-like attack or any kind of gaslighting or anything like that that's really coming at you, the first huge step that really sets you free is to become emotionally uninvested in what this person thinks of you, which I'm essentially saying you don't care. You're becoming apathetic and indifferent, which if this is a marriage that you're trying to hold together, that's not very good foundation. I'm telling you actually to undermine your foundation. But that's the only way to succeed in this. So let's break it down. Let's go back to the carpooling example. You say, hey, we haven't figured out this week. I've got some after work appointments that I'm going to be a little late. Can we talk about carpooling? And then your partner attacks you. You always do this. You tell me at the last minute, how could you bring this up now? I can't believe this. You didn't plan better. What's your problem? So there's they'll even say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why you're bringing this up now. They'll do something that denies or deflects. And then they'll go on the attack of you, which I already gave an example of. They'll attack you maybe for the time that you're bringing it up, or that you didn't bring it up with enough timing for them, or that you always wait to the last minute, or why do you always have work after work, or you know, something. They'll bring up something to make some other issue, and then they act like they're the ones who's being hurt, like you're putting a burden on them, or you never make it easy, or you don't appreciate how hard they work, or they'll do something that's like off the point, but they'll personalize it in some way that makes you feel really bad, like a shit. What are you supposed to do? The first thing to do is not take what they're saying personally. You have to find some kind of emotional wall between you and them so that you protect yourself from what's being said, which means that you're not being invested in their feedback, in their opinion, in their support. And I'll tell you, when I was living with someone who's really, really toxic, this was super hard because I loved this person and I wanted them to have good thoughts about me. I wanted to be on their good side. I wanted them to see me as part of their team, that I had their back and that we were doing this together, that this was a joint venture. So for me, that brought up a lot of like loss and I felt some grief, but I also felt injustice. It was unfair. What was being said was wrong and cruel and unfair because it felt like they didn't know me and I wanted to set the record straight. Now, that's where my hot buttons are, my triggers are. Maybe your triggers are something a little different. Maybe they really get you at your control. They'll have something that they'll attack you around. Like you always have to have it your way, or everything always has to be so perfect, or you always have to be the good mom or the good dad. They'll have something that they'll go after you around. I'm just using carpooling. It could be something else. Like you always have to have the house clean, or you always care about what people think about you. The issue is they'll have their narrative of how they pigeonholed you because they're not really seeing you as a whole rich person who's complex, who does things for lots of different reasons. That's the first thing they're going to do is they're going to attack some part of your image. And by the way, they're very accurate on this. They know you and they know what your hot buttons are and they know right where to push them. So they're going to make it sure that it hurts and it hurts good. And again, what's so sad about this is a person who's supposed to have your back. This is a person who's supposed to love you more than anyone ever has loved you, whether it's a parent or maybe one of your kids or maybe it's a partner. I mean, we're talking people who have intimate relationships and know you like nobody ever else knows you. And then they're using that knowledge to go after you. You know, that's a whole nother topic that we should talk about is why we're in relationships where this kind of toxicity and damage and pain occurs because it's awful and no one deserves that. So that's the first thing, is you have to know what your triggers are, and you have to get to a place where your triggers, you don't allow your triggers to be pushed. And I'll tell you, woo, that's a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. It means you have to emotionally divest yourself from this person. For me, that meant the relationship ending, because basically I wouldn't, you know, I don't want to have a relationship with someone who's that antagonistic and who treats everything that I do conflictually. I just don't. So that means for me, I'm moving towards an end of a relationship if I'm having to be that careful with you. I know a lot of us stay, and we stay for a long time, and we put up with this. That would be another, big discussion about why, what happens here. But that's the first step. The second step is you ignore the attack. Have you heard of JADE? J-A-D-E, it's an acronym. You don't justify, what's the A stand for? You don't justify, attack, defend, or explain. You don't justify, attack, defend, or explain. So that's the second step. You don't defend or attack or do any of that. You don't talk, don't take on that issue. Whatever they have just made is the issue about you, don't take that issue on. The minute you've done that, you've lost. It's like a bear trap, and you put your foot in it when you start to take on, to address the attack on you. Don't address that at all. That's part number two that's super hard, because like I said, it feels unfair because they're very good at knowing what bothers you. And the third thing you do is you stay on topic. You bring it back around. You say to them, well, you may have an issue with me. Let's talk about that another time, but we still have to figure out what we're going to do with carpooling. You swing it back to the issue and talk about carpooling. Now, some people will be able to successfully pick that up and finish the discussion. Others won't. You may find that your partner or your friend or colleague or whoever you're doing this with may walk out or may just get frustrated or may up the ante on another way. But some may go ahead and actually get a resolution. But that's your last ditch hope, that something's going to kind of work out on that. But those are the practical steps of handling DARVO. And I know it's really tough. Your need to have someone work this through with you or to see you fairly, but you're going to have to know yourself to know why this really is upsetting you and triggering you so badly. That's where our vulnerability is with it. Here's one of my vulnerabilities. It catches me off guard. I don't expect it. I go in with the assumption that people really want to have resolution. They really want things to be easy and for us to have a plan. I assume that, you know, if something's not working, they want to know that so that we'll get it done. But it always surprises me when I become the issue, because it's not about me at all. So you'll have to kind of pay attention to what catches you off guard, because those are the things you need to get prepared for, because it's then you can be ready with the response. You can be ready to use it, and it'll be way more effective. When someone used DARVO on me, it used to leave me quaking and feeling absolutely dumbfounded. But once I started to understand why someone would do this against me, it became much easier for me to stand my ground. I'd love to know, has today's podcast helped you as well? DM me on Instagram or email me and let me know what you thought of the show. I'd love to hear from you. And with that said, I'll see you back here on Thursday. Until then, bye-bye.